Roll 12.
Say your name.
Pettigrew.
Slate in there. Slate up too high. Slate it.
Slate. Roll 12. Take one. Shot one. Pettigrew.
Okay, stand by to ask the question. Be looking at him. Eric. Okay, ask it.
My name is Eric Pettigrew. I'm a Duke student, a senior, and I assisted in helping film the conference, both for myself and both for the filmmaking team as a technical assistant. When I ever think about the Vietnam War, the first thing that comes to mind is a quote by Santayana that says, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And when I came to the conference, it was with the expressed hope that I would see an open and discussion of the issues involved, not from where the people were actually standing, but as interested observers. It was with dismay that I listened to the first few principals who seemed to be standing by the same arguments that they'd used for the past 10 years. I think the problem here, there are two key words, and that's time and involvement, personal involvement. 10 years ago, as for me, when the Tet Offensive came around, I was 11 years old. I did not remember it at all. But for those people, those principals who were involved 10 years ago was like yesterday. Secondly, as far as their personal involvement was concerned, they each had a stake in the process. Whereas for me, I am a detached observer, if you will. As far as whether or not the media had any effect on me, when I think of the Vietnam War back as it was portrayed by Walter Cronkite, for our family would sit around the table, we would watch the evening news every night. It would finally reach the point where my father would just click it off when the Vietnam War came about. I think the problem was not that there was a paucity of information coming in, but that there was too much information, and that it was conflicting information. The same Walter Cronkite that would show a news story and show us fighting against an invisible enemy would then turn around and at the end of the broadcast say with a half smirk on his face that we had killed 2,000 of this invisible enemy. And so there was always a lack of credibility. The basic things that I would think about when I want to look at the Vietnam War is not what happened, but why and how. And I think this is the point where the principals, characters in the conference have fallen short, because they're still concerned about the minutia, the pacification program or the strategic hamlet or enclave, search and destroy, all these programs without actually, or the military side, as Westmoreland was, without actually standing back and looking at the broader view, the view for the future. And I will always wonder why these intelligent men, I used to think, how can these intelligent men make these decisions? But now, after seeing the conference, after talking with some of these principals, after confronting them with what I feel to be conflicting information and having them come back with the same arguments, I see that it's not really a personal thing, that they all are caught up in their own personal involvement in the war, that they see things from, they stand from where they sit, if you look at it that way, and that their involvement, their jobs in the war were such that that their view of the war was tainted by from whatever their jobs were.
Will there be any future Vietnams?
I don't think so. I think that the Vietnam War came out of perceptions from the post-war world. That is to say that the world was divided into two opposing camps, and that we just tended to see the Vietnam conflict on global terms instead of seeing it as a national liberation war. I think then we had a dichotomy between military and political aspects of the situation that were never really meshed together as far as reporting, as far as policymaking was concerned. Now, I think we have a greater appreciation for struggles like Angola or the Horn of Africa that we are reluctant to get into as a world power. Also, I feel that we are reluctant to show to use military force to the same extent that we used it right immediately after the war, when we were filled with the hubris that we were the most powerful nation in the world. With the spread of the power now in the world is being diffused more and more through economic and political. I'm speaking of the battle for resources and all this, and so that isolated conflicts like Vietnam should have been, and like Angola was, are not being delved into by us. We've left it to, say, for instance, the Soviets to make their own mistakes, to make their own Vietnams as far as in the Horn of Africa. And it's shown by the way they've been kicked out of certain countries that this sort of beating one's chest as far as a superpower is concerned is not always the safest or the wisest course to follow. Appeasement. It likens, for some reason, it likened Ho Chi Minh to Hitler and to other aggressors, other dictators, when in fact, I don't think that was the case at all. From what I've gathered, and this is always a problem of intelligence, of information gathering about the war, because what I'm reading now, the majority of the material is, of course, against the war. There seems to be a given thing that the war was wrong and that we've got to find out why. But the fact that in that film, Ho Chi Minh, we were, it was a propaganda film, and we were portrayed as the defenders of this liberty, and on the other hand, Ho Chi Minh was portrayed as this transgressor who was coming down from the north. I think it was too extreme. I think that's the one major problem I see with the war, even now, 10 years later, is that it's such an emotional issue that it tends to polarize the people.
Yeah. Great, Eric.